Have you ever consulted a spiritual medium? Are you intrigued and curious? If so, you're in the exact right place. Join me as I welcome Jessica Rachel, a spiritual medium and intuitive coach. She channels divine guidance from your spirit guides to help you become the truest and most aligned version of yourself in this lifetime. Let's dive into the episode so you can gather your own takeaways and apply them to your life. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. I'm your host, Maureen Spielman, and I'm really, really excited today to welcome Jessica Rachel. She was introduced to me by my coaching colleague, Abby Ziv, and I was lucky enough to do a reading with Jessica this past fall in which I learned many, many, many aspects of guidance for myself and my life, and they've been applicable ever since. So I can't speak more highly of her work. A few more things about Jessica. She truly believes that her intuitive gifts are not unique and that everyone can access their spirit guides. And she has made it her mission to help everyone discover their own intuitive power and trust that the answers they seek are always within. I love that because part of the mission that I couldn't see in the beginning of Mystical Sisterhood is really bringing the work that we've sort of held separate from ourselves into and infusing into our lives to let us know that it's here for us too. And so Jessica's really one of these wise and I think experienced teachers around the subject of how do we tap into our spirit guides? So let me just say welcome, Jessica.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and just thank you.
Yeah, well, there's so much to cover today. And I'm wondering, I don't always ask this question, but what's your definition of the mystical?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think that, you know, the word mystical is so, it feels like this word that is like something that's so beyond ourselves. And I really would love, you know, to almost change the definition of it. And to me, it's sort of like, it's this beautiful light that lives within you and that it's not, it's tangible, it's within you and it's accessible. And so to me, I think that the mystical is the highest part of yourself that you always have access to.
Gorgeous. I love that answer. And it's, you know, Jessica, after sitting in this seat and bringing together all the wise voices and the wisdom and the teachings in the last year, I was doing something that I'm putting together now. I would say, okay, this podcast is about connection to ourselves and one another. I was thinking for a while, then it was the connection to the mystical, but the mystical was something separate from us. And then it came together for me the other day, like, no. And I'm just like learning through my own life in real time that just like you just said, that mystical or the divinity, it's all one and the same. So all three, all like I had the three pieces of self, community, and mystical. And it's like, well, it's all in a bubble. It's not, okay, we're here on earth and then that's far away from us. And you know, some things we have to call in, but I love the real-time revelations that I think that we're really having on a daily basis.
Yeah, we're all one and we're all connected and, you know, it's all part of it. So I never like to think of spirituality or connecting to spirit as anything separate from beyond your own power in yourself. So I 100% agree.
I love that. So kind of bringing it back to ourselves, you know, just going back a little bit in your own life. I know that you've shared, you have it on your website. You didn't start out in this work. So I do like to ask the question of, go back to your childhood. Was there any sort of clues that these gifts were emerging early on?
100%. And so, I mean, if you were to talk to me 5 or 6 years ago and ask me if I was going to be a spiritual medium, I would have laughed in your face and went, no, like the only thing I ever imagined for myself was to actually be a teacher. And that is what I did. But if, you know, once I developed the gifts and then looking back on my childhood, I realized there were definitely clues. There were definitely things that happened that I then recognized later on was me connecting to my intuition. And so I can remember very vividly as young as 2 years old, waking up and seeing these sort of holographic images hovering at the end of my bed. And I remember being quite fearful of them, you know, running to my parents' room and, you know, that happening a lot through my early childhood. Kind of seeing these little beings of light sort of hovering over me. And, you know, my lovely parents, as they, you know, they're lovely people, but they know nothing about this. And so, of course, they chalked that up to a nightmare, right? And told me it's just a dream, go back to sleep. And, you know, because it did scare me, I learned over time to sort of put it away, you know, and package it up and not go there anymore and be fearful of it. And so, you know, beyond 7 years old, maybe I don't have further memories of those experiences. But once I learned how to tap into my intuition, you know, in my mid to late 20s and learned to connect to my spirit guides, you know, it was like I remember you. I remember you sitting at the end of my bed.
Oh, yeah. I love that, Jessica. And well, I just had a question that dawned on me. You know, you're not the only person that I've heard say that these images would come to you at the edge of your bed. Now, is there something to that? Is there something about us, like when we're in this human form, our physical form, that we are at our most relaxed and then more open to seeing? I feel like at the edge of my bed is just something that it's reminiscent of a share that has come before this.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you might have a point there. It may have something to do with at the point that you're most relaxed. I also like to think of it as, you know, maybe they're protecting you while you sleep. So they're coming through. But then also, you know, there's something to be said about that kind of liminal space that you live in, you know, between the dream state and waking, where you're most open to experiencing, you know, your intuitive abilities, because as you said, you're the most relaxed, but you're also sort of in between realms, so to speak.
That's lovely. I would love to learn more about that. You know, when you were in the teaching profession, you know, you also said that you had gut instincts, but for quite some time, you were just kind of running over them and you weren't paying attention. Did the whisper become a scream, or how did that play out for you?
Oh, hell yes. I definitely got rock bottomed, and that became a wake-up call for me. So if I look at sort of my trajectory of becoming an elementary school teacher, I had lots of little whispers that were telling me this isn't right for you. And I even remember while I was still in teacher's college saying to my boyfriend, now husband, you know, I'm not sure that this is right for me. And, you know, getting the same message from everybody around me, you know, from my parents and from my peers, but you've come this far, you know, it's such a good job. Just do it, get into the workforce before you decide you don't like it. Right. And so, you know, I continued on, and, you know, there were more little things that kind of really acted as, it's almost like the way I like to describe it is your spirit guides or your intuition will throw these little pebbles at you. Then they throw rocks, then they throw boulders, then they like pull the rug out from under you. And so for me, that progression was exactly in that way. And so every year of teaching, it would get a little more uncomfortable. It would be a little bit harder. So I would either have a really challenging colleague, you know, who was making things really uncomfortable for me, or then a really challenging principal, then an extremely challenging classroom and schedule, you know, group of students and schedule. And then on top of that, you know, being flooded with anxiety and getting sick. You could mark it on a calendar. I was getting sick every 3 weeks, right?
Wow.
Like my body was screaming at me, this isn't right for you. Get out. And I just kept ignoring it. And even though there was this voice in my head, and I knew I was miserable. I knew.
Yeah, we know.
But I didn't know of any other way of being. I didn't know what else there could be. And so for me, the big wake up call was, I'll never forget this. It happened so close together. It was my third year of teaching, right before the Christmas break. I was rushing to work because I was running late, and I live up here in Toronto, so there's a lot of ice on the ground. My car slipped on black ice, went spinning, and slammed into an icy snowbank. So it hit it so hard that my right wheel came off.
Wow.
And I ended up with a concussion, right? Like it was a bit of an injury, a minor concussion, but enough for me to get some time off work. And so, you know, the doctor said, you need 2 weeks at least. And it was just going into Christmas break. So I ended up with a month of downtime.
Okay.
And I still intend, I remember feeling relieved in that moment of like, a break.
Oh, gosh. Survive, right.
Right. Yeah.
It took a concussion for you to give yourself permission to take a break.
Yeah. And then it was even worse, though, because I had every intention of going back to school in January, and I had been cleared for my concussion, and my husband and I and a couple of friends went skiing, and then I fell in a really awkward way where my boots didn't release from my skis. Ooh. So I went one way, my feet went the other, and I tore my knee so badly.
Wow.
And so I get a call from HR the day before school's supposed to start. They said, okay, how's your concussion? You ready to go back to work? Yes, but I'm on crutches. And they said, oh my goodness, you just recovered from a concussion. Now you're on crutches. You are such a liability to us.
Yeah.
And so they said, you cannot come back while there's ice on the ground. We can't have you in this on the school grounds. And so they gave me 6 months off of work.
Wow. They
were like, you're not going back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that for me was the wake up call. That for me was, you know, first of all, the jubilation that I felt in being told I couldn't go back to work was, you know, that in and of itself was like, all right, obviously I'm not in the right profession.
Yes.
I'm thrilled to not be allowed to go back.
Exactly.
And, you know, it was in that time where my husband turned to me and he kind of said, you know, you said you didn't want to be a teacher. Maybe take this time and figure out what else you're going to do. Mm-hmm. Very wise words. And I took that time very seriously. And I really felt the need to address my anxiety because I knew I was feeling so anxious all day, every day. And I started learning about meditation. I started attending meditation circles. And it was in these spaces that I started to learn about things that I had never heard of before, like spirit guides and past lives and, you know, all of these things that just opened up a whole other world to me. And I knew in these meditation circles, I had never felt more at home. And I just wanted more of that. And for me, the pursuit of my intuitive abilities was really to get the answer, if I'm not supposed to be a teacher, what the heck am I supposed to do with my life, right?
Yeah.
What's my job going to be? What's my purpose? And a friend in one of these circles had said to me, well, why don't you ask your spirit guides? My what? And she told me, you know, there's these beautiful beings of light. They support you. They're there to help you find your path and purpose. There's these beautiful meditations on Insight Timer, the app that has meditations that are based around asking your spirit guides questions. Go listen to them. Right. And so that's exactly what I did. And it definitely took me some time to learn how to connect, and definitely through doing a lot of meditations and practice and attending these meditation circles before I finally started to even get a sign like, am I on the right path? Give me a sign if I'm not supposed to be a teacher, right? And, you know, and so that sort of started that journey during that 6 month period of being off of work to start to really dive in to my intuitive abilities to seek out that answer.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I eventually found a mentor that I really learned how to tap into my gifts quite strongly. And by the end of that summer, by the end of the school year, I knew that I could connect to my guides. I had been able to connect to my loved ones, so grandparents that had passed away, and my spirit guides. And when I asked them, when I finally was able to get clear answers, and I asked the question, what am I supposed to do? They said, this. Connect to your spirit guides. You know how to do this. If you can do it, then show everybody else that they can too. And that sort of became my mission.
That I love it. Thank you for kind of, you know, sharing your path with us and just that succession of events. And, you know, I always find that those questions that come to us from the innocent bystander almost that just say, like for you, it was, have you ever tried to connect with, you know, with your spirit guides? And I had Denise Ricard on, and she talked about, she's a galactic numerologist, and she was doing what she did on the everyday. And then someone came over and she shared the story about how they said, I think it was her cats or her dog, one of her pets' energy. She was her friend was vibing with the cat or the dog's energy. I can't remember the animal, but it was that question. Like it was this statement of like, oh, I'm vibing with the energy. And she just like looked and said, what are you talking about? Energy. And so these questions that can catapult us out of our sort of like state of being into another realm are what really captivates me. And I think that they're occurring in our environment way more than we realize. Like, you know, perhaps along the way, someone said something to you in those teaching years, but you weren't, your consciousness wasn't attuned enough yet to hear it.
Right, right. And I always think that, you know, and this is really the work of, you know, when it's such a beautiful thought to think that, you know, even though we kind of choose amnesia sort of in this incarnation, so to speak, right? We don't really come in kind of going, this is my purpose, usually.
Yeah, totally. Right?
But, yeah. But there are sort of these beautiful beings of light, you know, however you want to call it, God, the universe, source, that are always looking out for you and working in the background to make sure that you do get in touch with, right? Mm. Or come across these instances where it makes that light bulb turn on so that you do start to pursue why you're here.
And the reason I love it too is because with sort of this rising, and I think this podcast has been such a great indication that this, first of all, the keepers of the wisdom in whatever field it is, remind us of our wisdom, but there's more coming forward. There's more availability. There's more accessibility. This possibility, and it's happening, so it's more than a possibility, of younger people discovering why they're here earlier in life. That's super exciting to me.
Yeah, and there's something to be said about this generation that's coming through. And I know that I'll channel for a lot of clients will ask me about their children. You know, how can I best support my children? What do their guides have to say? And this generation that's coming through, and I've even experienced this with my own son, there's really this feeling of they're a different frequency. They're here to sort of raise the consciousness in a way of the planet in a way that we have never been able to, that a lot of us aren't coming to until later in our lives. They're coming in already kind of going, we're going to heal our stuff, or you guys better heal your stuff because we're coming through.
Totally.
Right? Like, we can't exist in a space with all of your SHIT. Like,
it's true. It. And I think too, when you can see your, if you're a parent, and even if you're not, that these younger people, even if they're two, that they're a soul that is just alongside ours. There's no age. There's no hierarchy. We're here just doing this life together. I mean, how do you explain that?
Yeah. And often our children will act sort of as our compasses. You know, there's the mirror, but then there's the compass, and the compass is sort of like, it's like the highest version of yourself. They kind of come in showing you your own potential. And they're
I love that.
You without your stuff, this is me. So come and follow me.
Yeah. And so that old, the thing that just came to mind is almost like with gratitude, thank you to the youngers for being here with us and guiding us. Because like when I was growing up, it was like, you should be thanking me. And what, it's not that we give all of ourselves, but understanding that it's bilateral or multilateral, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, and then there's something to be said about soul age, right? I mean, none of these souls that are coming through are new. In fact, they've probably been around longer than we have, right? So
Yes. I think it was in my reading with you that you had said, Maureen, you're a really old soul. And no one had told me that before. And it was like, it was a real revelation for me, because I thought, well, I really want to do my life's work if that's true, and just have a ball and a party doing it. And that was, I had no idea. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh yes, of course. And that really is sort of like the, I wouldn't say the woe of the old soul, but definitely like the theme of the old soul, when they're kind of knowing that like, this might be my one or two last lives around here. They feel like this really strong urge to kind of leave a legacy, kind of help those ones who are still incarnating on the planet to, you know, reach enlightenment in the way that they have. And so there's almost an urgency to it of like, I have to, I got to get it out there because I'm on my way out.
That's intriguing to me. So I remember during our reading, but I can't remember the exact language you used. First of all, speak to how many lives we talk in here that people can have. And number two, what is a newer soul kind of look like?
So in terms of numbers of lifetimes, I mean, it's infinite, right?
Okay.
The way that I sort of like to describe it is it's almost more, there's this really beautiful medium. His name is Ainsley MacLeod, who definitely describes it better than I do. But I really do subscribe to this teaching, but there's sort of this idea of soul levels. And you can have hundreds of lifetimes in the same level, so to speak. Mm. And that level will sort of define sort of the lessons or experiences that your soul kind of needs to have before you kind of move on to the next mm-hmm. quote unquote level. And as you move up each level of the scale, it's sort of moving into a new layer of awareness, a new layer. And, you know, so, and kind of level 10 sort of being fully, completely under aware of the fact that I'm a soul being having a human experience.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
So through each level, we kind of peel off a layer that allows us to be open to that and aware of that, you know, consciousness. So, but it can take several lifetimes within each level to kind of get to that point, right? And there are certain sort of lessons that we need to learn within each level. So when, to answer your second question about a newer soul, you know, when we look at a newer soul, there are a lot more, well, number one, asleep, I guess you would say, but more focused on survival and getting their basic needs met. And so there's a lot more fear for sure. Mm-hmm. There's also a lot more of just like, you know, it's all about, you know, how do I, you know, make sure that there's food on the table and enough money and, you know, getting everything, you know, being clothed, you know, your basic, you know, Maslow hierarchy of needs kind of a thing. And when you get to an older soul, there's sort of this understanding that I don't need to worry about those things. I'm so part of the oneness that it all is, that like, you know, the universe is going to provide for me and I don't actually need to try so hard, right? It's all
so fascinating,
right? So it's almost like the soul calms down a little bit as you move up, you know, towards the end. And again, you know, definitely recommend that book by Ainsley MacLeod. I can't remember the name of the book. He's written so many, but there's different characteristics that each sort of soul level will embody. Mm-hmm. And I definitely see this in my practice when I channel for others. People who come to me tend to be older souls, right? You're not mm-hmm. You're honestly not going to have a new soul who's interested necessarily in spirituality or even aware of the fact that spirit guides exist, so to speak. So I tend to experience a lot of older souls, but you know, there's a lot of common characteristics that go along mm-hmm. with that for sure. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I'm laughing to myself too, if anyone is watching this on YouTube, and I always say go to YouTube under Mystical Sisterhood because you get to see my guests too. But I'm just laughing because as you said, if you would have said, Maureen, 5 or 6 years ago that I would be on this podcast today, so much owning all of this, you wouldn't have believed it. And the same with me, I would have never known that I would be creating a portal for light from what we consider the other side to come through. But if it's oneness, it's not really the other side. That's the interesting thing to me is like, hopefully some of these ways that we have separated these realities that are occurring are starting to integrate. So I'm really thankful for that because I always, and I know the listener is with me because I believe my listeners are old souls too.
For sure.
And mm-hmm. I have to share that kind of like when I looked at an analytic on the podcast recently, I don't know if I've shared this on a podcast, but I thought that my analytics would all be sort of like in the middle of life ages, went down to age, I think, 23. Wow. And so the hunger and the thirst and the drive for this information is absolutely there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And definitely sort of as we're seeing, right, younger people are cluing in faster. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. There's mm-hmm. got to be more to life than just you have a job and you do it for 35 years and then you retire and that's the end. Right.
Yeah.
Everybody's really feeling like there's more to life than that. Right. Mm-hmm. And the sooner you clue into that, the much better of an experience you're going to have anyway. So,
yeah. And have you seen, I know Valerie Wood was the other intuitive medium on the show last year, about a year ago, but I recently asked her what she's seeing as changes. And she said she's seeing clients come to her. So I'm wondering if you see the same, who not only are interested in, ooh, might I have some of these gifts that I've been disconnected from, and but entertaining possibly working with some of them, the gifts, instead of keeping it cloistered and keeping it secret? Do you see some coming out around this?
Oh, 100%. I could even say almost every client I've had this month has said, how do I connect stronger to mm-hmm. my guides? How mm-hmm. do I connect? And it's not even a question of can I? It's how do I do it easier, right? How do I make that? I can feel it happening. You know, I can see the signs. I want to have more control over it, right? And so definitely there's a shift in that. Like, it's not a question of if, it's a question of how to strengthen. Right.
Okay. Yep. I love that. Yeah. And do you find when you start to work with somebody that even if, well, again, you're saying like old souls come to you, but even if they think that they're not tapped in yet, they absolutely have been receiving messages all along.
Everybody has. Okay. In my mm-hmm. opinion, it's your birthright. Everybody has an intuition. We all have it. It's a question of how much are you willing to listen to it. And mm-hmm. I mean, there's a comfort level in knowing that whether you're listening to it or not, you're being supported and you're being guided and loved on mm-hmm. by those beings of light no matter what. But, you know, if the question is how rocky of an experience do you want to have? Do you want to constantly have to have the rug pulled out from under you in order to keep pushing you back into alignment?
Not anymore.
If you continue to listen to those whispers and you tune in a little bit stronger, right? Mm-hmm. Or a little bit more intentionally, then, you know, you get to have a much smoother ride. So why not?
Absolutely. Yeah. And Jessica, how do you define spirit guides?
Yeah. You know, this is a question that I get a lot, and I feel like I'm ever changing this definition mm-hmm. as mm-hmm. I channel for more people and, yep. you know, connect with these beings of light, the definition changes. So at least from my current understanding, and I never claim to know everything, but, you know, from my experience, you know, it's source energy, God, the universe, whatever you subscribe to in terms of that labeling. But, you know, we as humans, we almost can't conceive, like, what does that mean to talk to God or talk to the universe? Like, that feels so beyond the realm of understanding. And it's like this little piece of source that's directly assigned to you, mm-hmm. that's there to support you and help keep you on your path and your purpose in this life. And so, again, if we sort of subscribe to the belief that we incarnate over and over again until we kind of fulfill our purpose or have the experiences we choose to have, then there's sort of this understanding that before we come down into this life, we make an agreement with our spirit guide. This is what I'm going in for. These are the experiences I need to have and the lessons I want to learn. And, you know, here's all of the things. And they're sort of the one that's kind of, and then, you know, we come down, we incarnate. And as I said, we choose amnesia. We forget all of it. Right? We just, what am I doing here? Right? And that's necessary in some part, because if we remembered every single experience from all of our previous lives, I think we'd all probably be in the loony bin. I mean, you know,
yeah.
there's too much. And so it's necessary mm-hmm. in some cases to forget some of the things from previous lives. But our spirit guide is there to sort of keep us on track so that if we aren't kind of going towards the reasons that we chose to be here this time around, they're going to kind of keep us in alignment, knock us back, send us signs, signals, and messages to remind us who we really are and keep us in alignment.
Yeah. And they're constantly coming, those messages. Yeah, because I, like you, had a bigger sort of wake-up call, awakening. Mm-hmm. And part of, I was talking to someone yesterday and she was saying, like, it seems like most people wait until that big one comes, but maybe that's changing too. Hopefully that we don't have to wait until the big one comes and we can start to lean into the whispers. And I think that's why sharing this information is so important, is so we can begin to awaken before we get clocked over the head.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there are so many ways to start doing that. You know, if you intentionally are wondering, like, what are my whispers? Number one, know your body will always speak, right? Mm-hmm. Your spirit guides can speak to you through all of the senses. And, you know, for me, it was getting sick. If I'm getting sick, you know, pretty often, something in my body is telling me I'm out of alignment, right? So that's a really good indication, right? Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. then, of course, there's those gut instincts, right? This feeling in my belly that's telling me not to go to that party tonight. And then you can observe it. If I ignore it and I go, do I regret it, right? Yeah. Should I have listened to that whisper, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you don't go and then you feel really good about it, it's like, confirmation. I was right not to go. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes when that information comes in, it can be very counterintuitive. I had an experience last week, and I may have named it on the other podcast recording I did recently, but I don't think so. I literally went to the gym early morning. You would think you're dressed, ready to go for a very early workout. I was 3/4 of the way there, but I kept on having a voice say, no, no, turn around, go home, go home. And I didn't, I heeded the call and came back into my house. And I thought it was for one reason, but in the moment, I was also aware that it could be for a reason that was unbeknownst to me. And so, and when I came down that morning, I touched a couple of the switch plates in the house to turn on lights. And the first one sparked and the second one sparked. And so something was really trying to get my attention. And I won't go into it, but it ended up being an invitation back to integrate information I had been hearing in the past few days. And it felt like a breakdown that occurred for me, but it was actually, it then led to a breakthrough. And so the universe was really guiding me, source energy, back to my home so I could actually process. And it felt like, it doesn't seem like, gosh, it wasn't just coming back because your child was sick, or it was just, it was totally different. So if we can be open to the reasons why, then that's helped me.
Yeah. And I really love to sort of always remind people that even if it seems challenging in the moment, right, not to take on the victimhood mentality, but really kind of think everything is happening for me, not to me. Right. All of this is for, I mean, I could have sat there after my ski accident and went, woe is me, my life sucks, I'm injured and now I'm stuck on the couch. Right. And instead, by adopting sort of that, the idea of this is happening for me, what am I supposed to be taking from this? Right. Yeah. And what's the call here? Right. Now I look back and go, thank God I got into that ski accident. Right. And so it really is. It's always happening for us, whether we can see it in the moment. And usually we can't. It's usually with retrospect.
That's what I was thinking. Yes, yeah. Exactly. In the rear view mirror, because when we're in it, and some things longer than others, it can be very painful. It can be really hard, and we feel stuck and frustrated and overwhelmed and sad and all the things. So yeah, it can come much, much later as to why.
And so then in the moment, you really just have to hold on tight and go. I love when I almost get excited when these things happen to me, you know, where it feels like a bit of a rock bottom or a shot. I go, oh, some big manifestation's just around the corner.
I've heard that before.
Something's coming for me.
Yes. And in my life too, for me right now, there's been a bit of a quiet. And it's funny because that old phrase used to be quiet before the storm. There's probably a better way to say that. Like, quiet before the joy comes, or, you know, what's our anticipation? I think it shows those kind of phrases, though. I've named a couple today. They're almost like the old paradigm and the old mindset. I had a question for you. So as we do the interview, are you receiving information right now from any of your guides?
So in this very moment, no, but that's because I've learned to create very strong boundaries with spirit. And so we have a routine that they come in when I call them, and only in that way, because otherwise, you know, when I first started out, it can feel a little bit like being bombarded all the time and quite distracted. And it made it very difficult to be in the present moment or have a conversation and be present with that person if I'm constantly getting downloads. So I learned very early on to create that very strong boundary with spirit, and they're happy to work with you in whatever way you're choosing to work with them. You know, this is one of the biggest barriers to entry to people kind of wanting to tap into their intuition. They think, if I turn the faucet on, am I ever going to be able to shut it back off? Or am I just going to feel, you know, subject to this all the time? The answer is no, your guides want to work with you. They want you to feel comfortable with them. It's a relationship that you're building. And so, you know, you can ask them when they can and can't show up. I know I told my guides, not in the shower, please. Right? So I don't have access to a pen and paper in there. If that's a good idea, I won't be able to write it down.
That happened to me this morning. I got some really good information and my computer was downstairs, and I thought, like, oh no. Yeah. And I got out, towel on my head, and I went downstairs to type out what I
got. Yeah. So it's important. I need to be able to access the pen and paper.
So good.
Yeah. And even, like, you know, you don't want them to, I didn't want them waking me up in my sleep. They were doing that before I saw a client. Sometimes I would get all the downloads for a client I was going to have the next day at 2 a.m. and feeling wow. like, okay, but I'm going to see them tomorrow. Why do I, don't interrupt my sleep.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah. I often think, you know, we talked about before, you know, whether you would channel a little bit during the podcast today. So I would love to do that. Yeah. I know that when I've recommended, you know, intuitives to friends or family to go to, the very first time before they go, they say, what do I ask? And I know that, like, now I go in with lists of questions because I've done very many readings, but, you know, how do you kind of handle that? Do you kind of do like an open reading for people where you're downloading what's coming, or is it just whatever the client wants to experience?
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, with when I have a client, I always want them to get the most out of their session that they, you know, if they came in with an intention, I want them to walk away with what they came in for. So, you know, there's so, and, you know, if they come in with an open, with just like, I'll, you know, give me whatever your guides, of course we can do that. And your guides usually have lots to say. I like to kind of do a combination of both. And so I always offer spirit sort of the first 5 to 10 minutes to just share if there's anything that you needed to know that you didn't even know you needed to ask about. Right. And your guide will not be shy. They will tell you. Right. And then, you know, the types of questions to ask, I mean, the world is really your oyster in that respect. I really like to encourage people to ask about their path and their purpose. I mean, am I in alignment? Right? Am I on the path that I'm supposed to be on? Am I doing the things that are going to be for my highest good and for the highest good of everyone around me? You know, you can also ask about past lives, you know, and in that respect, which past lives are influencing unfinished business for me in this life that maybe I need to sort of
Oh, that's
look
a good
at.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah. And then we can always ask, you know, about anything going on in the present, you know, relationships. Have I had past lives with the people in my life, or what karma are we playing out? How do we kind of heal any of that? Or what are experiences are we choosing? And then people come to me for really specific things, like how to, you know, what's my career? How do I navigate this next business move? Or, you know, I get really specific questions from people. I'm about to have this business meeting with this person. Tell me everything you can about this boss. How do I approach it? Right. And you'll get those answers. You absolutely can. So you can go as broad and as woo as you want, or as specific as, you know, how do I enter this interview?
Yeah.
So to speak. And, you know, your spirit will always offer it to you in the context of your highest good.
I know on your website, I think you have a spiritual medium and then you have intuitive coach. And that's been my experience, is the old kind of expectation or whatever it was when you went to meet with someone who had spiritual gifts was that it was all going to be in this spirituality. But I find that coaching piece interesting and surprising to me, because when I walk away from sessions, I'm like, that was like a coaching session, but she was a medium. Like, but that might be like the modern day mystic, right? Like marrying the two. And that's a huge driver for me to incorporate the work into my life. It's so cool.
Yeah. And I mean, that's really, I mean, this is why I love the work of spirit guides so much, because their mission is to help you kind of fulfill your purpose in the most efficient or effective way possible. And so, you know, especially if you're an entrepreneur, you know, your guide is going to always give you the next right step. How are you going to serve people the best in a way that suits you the best? And they'll give you very tangible, like, here's your business plan. Go.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Would you want to try a little bit of channeling?
Sure. Absolutely. We can give it a shot. Okay. See how we do today. So what I'll do is, I do need to do a little meditation to sort of call your guides in. And so again, you can choose to edit that part out if it's too long, and then I'll call your guides in and we can go from there.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Okay.
Amazing. So let me just grab some water. And then if you'll just join me in closing your eyes. And we'll just start by taking a few deep breaths together. This is in through your nose, filling your belly, and out through your mouth with an open mouth, powerful sigh. So let's begin. Deep breath in. And let it go. Relax in your chest. Deep breath in. And let it go. Dropping your shoulders. Deep breath in. And letting it go, dropping everything down. Two more, deep breath in. And release. Last one, nice and slow, deep breath in. And release. Beautiful. I want you to imagine that you're standing at the shore of a beautiful beach at sunrise. The sun is just beginning to peek over the horizon, sending beautiful colors of oranges and pinks across a clear blue sky. Seeing the sunlight golden and shimmering across the water, and hearing the sounds of the waves as they gently crash against the shore. Feeling a cool, refreshing breeze against your skin, and hearing the sound of the wind as it gently rustles through the palm trees lining the shoreline. Feeling the sand warm and soft beneath your bare feet as you settle in. You feel calm, refreshed, and at peace here. Take another deep breath in and out. Now see yourself take a seat at the water's edge and begin to dip your feet into the water, feeling a cooling sensation as a wave washes over the tops of your feet and toes. I want you to imagine as if two golden cords begin to sprout out from the bottoms of each of your feet. They're going to burrow down deep into the earth beneath you, connecting you and holding you safely to the earth. See these cords burrow down deeper and deeper into the earth. See them heading all the way down to the very center of the earth. When they get there, they come across a beautiful pool of healing water. See the color of this water, a beautiful, bright, and blinding white light energy. And your cords are going to absorb this beautiful healing energy and bring it all the way back up toward your body. Feeling the center of the bottoms of your feet beginning to tingle as this beautiful white light approaches you. And feeling as it pours into the arches of your feet, tingly and shimmery, weighted and warm. Feeling this energy as it spreads across the balls of your feet and your toes. Feel it tingling and shimmering as it swirls around your heels and your ankles. And this beautiful energy is going to circulate throughout your whole body now, traveling up to the top of your head, down to your toes, and back up again. And as it does, it's going to wake up, reactivate, and rejuvenate every single cell in your body. Feeling the energy as it circulates through you now. Feeling every single cell begin to come alive, vibrate, hum, and buzz with this beautiful, sparkly white light. And as this occurs, your aura begins to glow. See yourself completely surrounded and projecting a beautiful, radiant, and healing white light. And feeling as even more of your cells come alive, feel everything humming and buzzing with one through line of brilliant energy. And as this occurs, your aura glows even brighter and radiates even further outward. You are completely surrounded and completely filled up with beautiful, radiant, and healing white light. Take one last deep breath here. And at this moment, I'd like to call upon all of your spirit guides, loved ones, ascended masters, angels, archangels, Reiki angels, and all other beautiful, benevolent beings of light who walk with you to come and join us in this guided meditation. I ask that we only connect to those of love and of light, of the highest vibration and the highest good, and that they provide us with the guidance, clarity, and healing that we seek today. I'd also like to call upon Archangel Michael to send a healing circle of protection around both of us, and ask that he too ensure that we only connect to those of love and of light, of the highest vibration and the highest good, that he ensure that the guides come through clearly but gently with their energy, and one at a time if necessary. Beautiful. So for those who are watching, I'm just going to keep my eyes closed for the moment. That's just how I channel best. You're free to keep them closed or open them, whatever feels best for you, Maureen. But you do have a beautiful guide here. And she has this really beautiful, I want to call it like grandmotherly energy to her. And she kind of wears these, she has this long white hair actually, and she wears these really beautiful kind of long, I want to call it like a linen robe almost, and these long billowing sleeves. And she almost has a bit of a, an almost like an Aboriginal kind of, you know, look, ethnicity or look to her. And then she has these beautiful kind of beads around her neck. And she comes in with just sort of this really sweet and nurturing and old wise energy as she comes through. And so before we go and ask her any questions, I'm just going to ask her, you know, if there's any messages she has for you today and what she, what, how she supports you, what messages she needs to share with you. So let me see what she has to say. So interesting. So the first thing she says, and you'll have to confirm with me if this sort of makes sense at all, but she looks to you and she says, Maureen, right now you're treading water and we need to step a little bit more into a feeling of floating. And she sort of gives me the sense that, you know, it's almost like you're almost there, like you're in the water, right? Like you're on the right path, but there's this feeling of treading, like there's still a lot of effort kind of in place. And then she shakes her head and she kind of goes, you're there, you're in this space where we just really need to be opening. She shows me this image of you lying on your back, kind of in starfish, like arms wide open, legs wide open, sort of ready to receive, let the sun shine down. She goes, you're there. And she tells me that for you, there's sort of been, up until this point, a lot of sort of working towards some bigger goals and really kind of, I guess, you know, putting the action pieces into place. And she goes, she needs you to know, she goes, but you've done all the work. And so take a breath and just receive right now. She goes, big things are on the way, but you're still pushing forward. And she goes, you haven't received it yet. She goes, let yourself receive it. How does that feel for you? Does that align at all?
Yeah, I think it does. And does she have any insight into how that receiving, like if I were to be in, because sometimes we can feel like we're receiving, but we're just maybe still not.
Yeah.
Like, is there any insights into what would help me receive?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Of course, they always come in with more of like an overarching broad theme, and then we can definitely ask them for specifics. And let's see if she can sort of share that with you. What does that look like for you? Okay, so first and foremost, she keeps calling you this planner, right? She goes, you have such a beautiful tendency to sort of plan things out ahead of time and like need to know sort of the next few steps and have it all laid out. And she says, it's really worked in your favor up until now, right? It's served you well. And so she says, it's in a sense, it can be a little bit of an old habit dying hard of like not needing to sort of plan every day out. Mm-hmm. And so in a tangible sort of advice that she's giving is she actually wants you to create space, literally space in your calendar where there is nothing planned. And so she says that in two ways. She says, one, can you have 1 week or 1 day in your week where the day is totally blank, where there is nothing on the agenda? And I literally, the name of the game is just to lean into what would feel good today. Right? Would it be to be out in nature? Would it be to just be, you know, curled up with a book or, you know, cuddling up at home, right? And really leaning into sort of what does my body tell me what would feel good? But she says, then can you even in a minuscule way incorporate that into every day? Can I plan out an hour or two every day where there's nothing on the agenda, where there's just blank space in that day? Because she says, that's when the magic happens. Because for you, first of all, we know you're very intuitive already, right? And so she says, if you were to have that space and just lean into is, you know, what would feel good in this moment, this is when you sort of get led to these places where the magic then gets to meet you. if that makes sense. And so if you felt called to sort of go for a walk that day or, you know, go out to the park, and then, you know, that's sort of when you have that magical circumstance where you run into somebody and that becomes a very advantageous meeting, right? Those kinds of things. And so she's sort of saying that for you, everything's so scheduled, there's not enough room for those sort of magical pieces to fall into place. And so really needing to kind of create space for them, so to speak, throughout each day. And then can you even create a bigger version of that once a week?
I love it. Okay. Yeah. I love that. Because sometimes too, I feel like in readings, we'll receive the information, and this happens to me a lot where I'm like, that's not me. But then I'll sit back and be like, oh, I think there's truth to it, which is the beauty of just letting Maureen step to the side and again, receive and just breathe that in. So thank you.
So beautiful. I know. I always say your spirit guides are always going to tell you how it is, right? They're not going to, they're not going to beat around the bush and be nice about it. They're going to tell you what's really going on.
Exactly. I love it.
For sure. Beautiful. So I'll ask you, is there any sort of questions that you have in mind that you'd love to ask your guide today?
I'll just, you know, because we're here with the Mystical Sisterhood, is what do you see that I'm not seeing right now about what is being created with Mystical Sisterhood?
Ooh, I love that. Okay, let's see what your guide has to say. So the big word that she says, even before you even finished answering the question, is community. That seems to be a really big one. And she said, and so, okay. In her words, she says, what you are doing, Maureen, is giving people permission to step into their true identity without fear of stigma.
Love that.
Yes. It's so beautiful. And she says, this is a place where people can come together and not feel alone, but more importantly, feel empowered by the beautiful gifts that they embody and that they were born with or that are a part of them. And not only is this a place of awakening, but it's a place of welcoming to the self and to the true self, which is so beautiful. And so to sort of answer the question of where this is heading, Mystical Sisterhood, and it's so beautifully named, by the way. I mean, sisterhood speaks to that so well. But she says that, you know, if we were to lean into development of this anymore, she says it's really leaning into building a place for community to gather. And she says it doesn't have to be in a physical space, right? It can be an online community of some kind, but really sort of a space where these people can begin to connect with each other and find fellow listeners in their area and actually find their community, so to speak. And so the more that you start to kind of create spaces like that, and then she says the word events. And so that looks like sort of actually creating events where people can gather and to experience. And she, and I'll give you the very specific, she shows me, it almost looks like calling in some of these experts that you've already interviewed and having them sort of offer these classes or panels or workshops, and listeners of the podcast coming to not only meet each other, but be part of, take part in these events that you create.
Yeah, I love it.
So it really is sort of this, and she shows me there's travel involved, by the way, like you're going to different places to sort of allow this to happen. But it is, there seems to be a stress on creating these events and even physical spaces for your listeners to come together and meet their soul sisters, so to speak.
Love it. Yes, yes. I love that. Thank you. That's really valuable.
I love that too. I'll join. That sounds lovely.
I know, right?
I want to come.
Yes. Yes. Okay. That's perfect. That helps me integrate. And this year for me, we're in 2024 for the listener, but is all about simplicity in ways. And can I kind of distill down to a place of simplicity, and then the offerings can emerge from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you can sort of see like how your serving really is. You're giving such a beautiful space for people to just be who they really are and feel comfortable in that space to do so.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Well, yeah. I feel complete. How do we kind of finish a channeling session?
Yeah. So I'll just check if there's any last thing that your guide needs you to hear, and then we'll thank her and sign off. So I'll just ask her for any last message that she needs you to know. Mm. Okay, the last thing that she needs to share with you is that she says, she's so funny. She said, in the downtime, you know, the spaces that she sort of spoke about in the beginning, when you're creating sort of downtime or space in your schedule, she says, bring a pen and paper. Because this is when your intuitive downloads come through. This is when she's communicating with you. And so the more you offer that sort of blank space on the calendar is when you're connecting and offering opportunity and inviting her in, so to speak.
Yeah.
So she goes, have a paper and journal at all times. Okay. When those spaces are coming through. Because you also are quite claircognizant, I should say. And so downloads are actually coming through you almost, it doesn't feel like you're intentionally calling in, you know, your guides. It just feels like it's almost hard to distinguish from your own thoughts, because it's like your portal's so open, it's always coming through. And so it's almost like, I don't know how I know, I just know that this is downloaded at this moment. This is channeling at this moment. So she says, you've got to capture some of those, because you're too often are you just brushing it off as that's a fun thought and then moving on.
Yes. Oh, I appreciate it so much. Yeah. And I just, I don't know, like, it makes me think of the listener too, that so often if I look at myself, it's like, I got to get the next book to, it's no longer to like inform my coaching necessarily, but that, okay, I'm going to, you know, work on writing a book. Like, I got to get a book about writing a book. Like, and so this idea that like all this stuff can come through, all the information, all this wisdom and thoughts and ideas and everything, inspiration can come through when you're just with pen and paper. It's like, I don't need to be on Amazon all the time. Like, order the book.
Yeah. I mean, you could even sit down and even just say, okay, spirit guide, what do I need to know? And just start writing and let it come through and know you are your portal. By the way, you're such an antenna. It's coming through all day long for you. Right. And so it's just a matter of getting quiet enough to actually notice it. Right.
Thank you. Yes. This is definitely.
I love it so much. Okay. Beautiful. Well, let's just take a moment to thank your beautiful guide. So if you'll join me in closing your eyes, we'll just take this moment to thank your beautiful spirit guide for coming through and offering such beautiful messages of love and healing and support. So thank you. And then if you'll join me, we'll just take a deep breath together to let her go. So deep breath in and release. Beautiful. Come back to the room when you're ready. I love it. I love your spirit guide. She's really like, she's a little bit sassy.
I loved her too. And I loved I love the whole thing and that channel of people adopting these ways of being in their lives. And you said without stigma, and that those two words, without stigma, have never been used before, but they're completely what I'm feeling too. So I so appreciate that.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Your guide always knows how to word it in a way that's going to resonate most with you, right? So
Yeah. And it's nice because we learn things in certain ways through certain teachers or this or that. And then I know for myself, then I can get stuck in that language. And I think I'm in a part of my like evolution or life where it's like, oh no, like go back to the old words you used to use, or what else would you say? Even with sort of like the buzzwords of today, like manifestation or abundance, or like, sometimes I'm like, well, how did we used to say that? Because I think it can be very relatable. Like you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so absolutely.
That's been interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
So, well, Jessica, thank you for everything today. Where can listeners find you and how do you offer your services?
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for having me. First of all, it's really been such an honor and a pleasure.
Yeah.
So people can find me either through my website, jessicarachel.co, if you want to book a session with me. I do also offer intuitive development courses and programs. So you can find me there. And I actually, this Friday, I just launched my own podcast.
Yay!
So that's coming out this Friday. It's called Intuition Activation. And you can find me on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple, and wherever you sort of find your podcasts.
I can't wait.
I'm really looking forward to you listening to that one as well. And then, of course, I'm on Instagram as well at I Am Jessica Rachel.
Beautiful. Thank you for all of this. And I know that I want to look into things more. So thanks for being here. Thank you for the listeners. I hope that you are walking away with so much that you can either apply to your life or things maybe about yourself that you're wanting to develop. So thank you, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my 1-on-1 coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.